You are about to listen to a sermon preached on the 8th of March 2020 at South Shore Community Church, located on the South Shore of Montreal, and is part of the series, The Result of the Spirit. Pastor Jay's sermon this week is entitled, The Result of the Spirit, Faithfulness.
Well, has anyone ever said to you, this is a secret, but I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I swore I wouldn't repeat this, but, or worse, if you repeat this, I'm going to deny I ever said it. What does that tell you about the person who's speaking to you? Well, I think the number one thing is that they're untrustworthy. Number two is that they lie. And then you start wondering, what have I told them that I wouldn't want everyone else to know? Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, which you find in Galatians 5:22. And I've called my series The Result of the Spirit, because I think we get mixed up with the idea of the fruit and wonder what that's all about. And really, the fruit is the natural result, the things we should naturally expect to see when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And if we aren't growing in those areas, then we should be wondering if perhaps there's a problem, that we're blocking the Spirit's work in our life. And we're blocking what God wants to do in and through us. And so we've looked at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And today we come to faithfulness. Now, of course, the Bible was not written in English, so it's always helpful for us to look, especially when we're just, in a sense, looking at one word, to look at what the word was in the language that the Bible was written in, which is Greek. And Greeks actually used the same word, pistis or pistos, for faith, belief, trust, faithfulness, trustworthiness, and believable. So all of those words, they use that same root to describe. And so when you look in your Bible and you see any of those words, the translators are choosing from the context of what the writer is saying, which word they will translate. And so in the Galatians 5 passage, they chose faithfulness rather than faith or belief because they're looking at what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5, and he's talking about the acts of a sinful nature and talks about awful things we do to each other. And then he's talking about the fruit or the results of the Spirit, and he is looking at all things that affect our relationships with one another. And so translators and commentators believe that the faithfulness that we're talking about here is not primarily our faithfulness to God, but actually our faithfulness to others that Paul is trying to get at. When he's saying that when the Spirit is at work in your life, other people will see that you are faithful, that you are trustworthy, that they can put their trust in you to a large extent, and you'll come through for them. And that really is an awesome thing that the Spirit can do in us. But we need to ask ourselves, what really is involved in being this kind of faithful, trustworthy person? And the first thing that I see that in a trustworthy person is that trustworthy people keep confidences. They don't run around saying, this is a secret, but. Instead, if somebody tells them something that's personal and nobody else's business, then they keep that to themselves. They make it a matter of prayer. They don't spread it all over the place. And this is not just when someone asks you to tell nobody, don't tell anybody what's happening, but when somebody simply tells you something that you know is really nobody else's business. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love, in other words, relationships, covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And you know, sometimes I think as we go about our life, we don't realize how we're talking about other people. And we need to ask ourselves, how is it that I talk about the people around me? Am I always thinking about all the things that they're doing that aren't the way I do them and aren't so good and that's contrary to this? Or am I really focused on loving them and encouraging them and helping them? Because, you know, that's what the work of the Spirit is all about. In Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul is talking about the work of the Spirit, he talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and he says, why does the Spirit give all these gifts to the church? For the equipping of the saints, so that they will do great things for God, good work that God is calling them to do. And so we know that the Holy Spirit's primary purpose in us, in many ways, is to use us for His glory. And what is that? His glory is that we would tell other people about Jesus, that we would show other people what Jesus is like. And if we're always running around talking negatively about people and gossiping, we're hardly showing the light, are we? And you know, sometimes even when it comes to sin, when we see other people sinning, we don't respond the way that the Bible tells us. We say things like, oh, did you see what Sarah was doing? Did you see? Instead of doing what Jesus said we should do in Matthew chapter 18, 15, he says, if you see your brother or sister sinning, you should go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to them, you've won them over. And really the implication Jesus is saying here, that's where the matter dies. It doesn't need to be brought up to anybody else. If they're repentant, if they're seeking after God and they're like, wow, thank you for helping me to see that. How many of us say that when somebody catches us? But that's really, if the Spirit is at work in our hearts, right, we're soft to the work of the Spirit. And so when someone points out a fault that really is a fault, we're not defensive. We say, thank you. Would you help me? Would you pray for me? And right there, it's all solved. And nobody else needs to know about it. It's between, except maybe if they've wronged somebody else, they need to go make it right between the two of them. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy, a faithful person keeps a secret. Now, I always have to take a moment when we talk about this to say that there are secrets that should not be kept. If somebody is abusing you, if somebody is threatening to harm themselves and you don't know what to do, if there are situations like that where if we're keeping a secret, we're actually keeping it to harm the person who we're keeping the secret from. Because if someone is even if someone's abusing you and telling you to not tell anybody, it's not good for them to continue abusing you. They are doing harm to themselves as much as they're doing harm to you. And so allowing them to keep on doing that is not good. And so there are times when people may ask us to keep a secret and we have to actually say, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. And we need to get help in many situations. And that's not the kind of confidence, the kind of secret that the Bible is talking about. The Bible is very strong on dealing with injustice and with sin when people are refusing to deal properly with their sin. And Jesus goes on in Matthew 18 to say that if somebody refuses to listen to you, that then you should bring it to the attention of other people. And of course, we're talking about Christians who are desiring to serve God. We don't do this with non-Christians because they're not even trying to do what's right necessarily, right? And so for them, we're just holding out the hope of who Jesus is. And of course, sometimes God uses the conviction of sin to draw them to Himself as well. I wish that we could speak to each other the way that 4-year-old Billy described love in a popular email forward that you may have received. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. That's quite a deep thought, isn't it, that a 4-year-old came up with. The way they say your name is different. And not just when you're with them. And you know that, of course, if you've seen a parent or a grandparent when they talk about their child or their grandchild. I mean, unless they're complaining to another parent, maybe. But most of the time, right, they're saying like, oh, Johnny, right? And there's an excitement, there's a pride in their voice, right? And that's how we should be talking about each other. If we're saying, did you see what so-and-so did? It shouldn't be, did you see the awful thing that they did? But wow, aren't they doing great? Aren't we so glad to see, whether it's our young people or whatever, that they're pressing in, that they're following after Jesus? This is awesome, even if they like a different style of music or whatever it is, a different style of dress. Sometimes we need to back up and look at the big picture. And I really believe that the reason that gossip is listed again and again in the Bible as a serious sin, which people so often take lightly, but the reason that the Bible pegs it is because, A, it's so common, it's so natural, it's part of our flesh that we need to fight. But secondly, that because it's not like God. It isn't loving, and it isn't faithful. It's unfaithful and unloving. And God, as we've been singing today, is faithful. And God loves us. And the Holy Spirit's work is to make us like God. And so if we struggle with gossip, if people's names are not safe in our mouth, then this morning we need to say, Holy Spirit, help me. It's not enough for us to just say, well, I'll do better in the future. It's not enough for us to try to do it in our own strength. We need to recognize that where there's habits and patterns in our life, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we don't just say, I'll do better. We say, God, I repent. Help me. Help me to do better. The second thing that I think about faithful or trustworthy people, what they do is that they tell the truth without exception. And I mean without exception. You tell the truth when you get in trouble. You tell the truth when it will cost you money. You tell the truth when you think that people will think less of you for it. You tell the truth when it would be a lot more fun to exaggerate. That was supposed to be funny. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy, faithful. Now, whenever we talk about telling the truth, we do have to remember the fact that telling the truth doesn't mean you have to tell everybody everything. There are some questions that people ask that the answer is none of their business. And so the correct response is, I'm sorry, but I have nothing to say about that. That's an honest answer. One that our politicians use far too often today, for sure. But there are times where it's appropriate, where it's the best thing, maybe even that they can say, because there are other people's issues that would come out if they commented on that issue. And I know whenever we talk about telling the truth, there are the skeptics, right? There are the people who are like, really? You want me to tell the truth all the time, every time? And so they try to come up with the worst case scenario. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard this scenario, but the one that I've heard many times throughout my life is, so imagine that it's during World War II and you're in Germany and the Gestapo, the secret police, is on your front doorstep and you're hiding Jews in your house. And you know that if you tell them that there are Jews in your house, that they will take them and to the gas chambers and they'll be executed. And somebody comes to your door and says, well, sorry, they're already there. The Gestapo's there and they say, you know, we've heard that you're hiding Jews. Are you hiding Jews? What are you, are you supposed to tell the truth then? Well, does anything else about what God teaches us? Is it situational ethics? You do something in one situation, in another situation it's right, and this one it's wrong? No. The Bible teaches us that if it's right in every situation. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, you know, what kind of responses would we offer in those kind of cases? Well, obviously, I'm not going to say, yeah, here they are. right? But there's so many other things we can say. I mean, yes, we could also just be silent. We could refuse to answer like Jesus did when people were accusing him. And he was going towards the cross, right? And it says, as a lamb is silent before his shears, so Jesus would not open his mouth. That was the prophecy. And there is a period of time where he too did not respond. And of course, there's all sorts of other ways we can respond. In a country where we have rights, right? We can say, I don't believe that you have the right to come in here. Do you have a warrant? Can I see a warrant? You know, there's all sorts of other responses we can give than answering their question and causing somebody's death. And so, well, that's an extreme situation. If we can find ways to tell the truth in that kind of an extreme situation, then really we have to be able to say, really, there's no situation where lying is right. There really is none. And the Bible, of course, records situations where people lie, but you'll never find a situation where it says that God told them to lie or God blessed them for their lie. And I know as soon as I say that some of you are, you're thinking of a certain scripture probably Exodus, I think it is in, where there were the midwives who lied about the Jewish babies who were being born, because in Egypt they were killing the babies. And it says that God blessed the midwives. But you'll notice it doesn't say God blessed the midwives because they lied. It says God blessed the midwives. Why? Because they were faithful, because they were rescuing these babies. And so we need to read carefully what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear that telling the truth is the right thing to do in every situation. And I'm so thankful that 99.9 of us will never face the situation where someone's life is in our hands and we have to figure out what to do. But you know what? Jesus promised that when we're faced in those kind of situations, that the Holy Spirit will direct us and tell us what we should say. And that's another reason why faithfulness is not merely a human action. You know, we can look at some of these things I'm talking about with faithfulness and say, well, anybody can do that. Non-Christians are faithful and trustworthy. But you know, it's in situations like these where the Holy Spirit gives us the courage to do what is right, even in the face of death, even in the face of a hard situation where it's not even just ourselves that we're worrying about. While I'm on this topic, I just want to take a moment to pause and talk about child rearing. Because, you know, I think sometimes as parents, we reward children for telling lies and we don't even realize it. Our child maybe tells us a lie and we know, we have a suspicion that maybe they're not telling us the truth. But to find out the truth would take a lot of time and energy that we don't have. And particularly when kids are small, you don't have a lot of energy often. And so sometimes we don't take the energy to find out the truth. And we respond to our children either as if they have lied without really knowing it, in which case if they're telling us the truth, then they feel a great injustice and they feel like telling the truth doesn't even pay. Or if they are telling the lie, then we may not respond appropriately. We're just responding to the action, to the thing that they did, and we're not responding to the trust issue that is being created. And so I want to encourage us as parents that far more important than whatever action it is that they did that they're lying about is the trust relationship, is that we be faithful, trustworthy people. And I remember there's a situation in one of our child's life where they didn't tell the truth. And it was very concerning to me because I didn't want to distrust my children in the future. And so I sat down and had a conversation with them about it. And I said, you know what, I'm not sure that this was the best thing to have them do, but I had the person, I won't even say gender here, write out a page of lines And I don't remember exactly what the page was, but it was something along the lines of, when I lie, I show myself untrustworthy, and mommy and daddy don't know when to believe me anymore. And they had to write that over and over again. And they were crying, and I was saying, I want you to write this because I want you to really get this in your heart, that telling the truth is more important than anything else in our relationship. And so I know that in a sense this is my opinion. This isn't directly from the Word. It's just, you know, but I want you to think about this today. What are we telling our kids if we don't dig for the truth? Sometimes we have to do a little bit of investigation and put in a little bit of energy so that we really know what the truth of this matter is. And we help our children to see that even when it hurts, it's worth telling the truth. And when our child does come and tell us the truth about something that's hard, that the first thing that we should be saying is, thank you for telling me the truth. And there may still be a consequence, but I appreciate so much that you trust me enough to tell me the truth and that I'm not going to go overboard with this situation. We're just going to deal with it the way that it should be dealt with. And you know, sometimes it's even worth letting them off on something that's not too serious as a reward for telling the truth. I mean, we shouldn't keep that up. But to help our kids to understand that, wow, it is so important that you told the truth. And that's more important than this little thing that happened. And I'm just so glad. And then, yes, sometimes there's times where there has to be an appropriate consequence. Of course, where there's open disrespect or rebellion in our, you know, there's situations, and I couldn't possibly deal with all of them today. And so I just want to encourage us as parents, we need to lean on the Holy Spirit. Just as we need to lean on the Holy Spirit to be faithful, we need to lean on the Holy Spirit to help our children to grow up to be faithful, trustworthy people. And you know, I think we should even be cautious about deceiving people with things like surprise parties or gifts and the like. We should find ways to do that without lying, right? And sometimes we should even consider maybe it's not worth the surprise. You know, if it's one of those people who's always digging and always, you know, and they're always catching on, well then, just don't bother. Because again, we don't know who we're influencing, who we're demonstrating this to. And I understand that if everybody knows, you know, what the surprise is for, I'm not saying that's a terrible, awful sin, but I'm just saying let's be really careful that we are demonstrating faithfulness and trustworthiness, that what we say people can stand on and know that as far as we understand, it is the truth. And if we find out differently, we'll let them know. The last thing I want to talk about in terms of telling the truth is that there's a difference between telling the truth and being rude and brutal. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:25 that opponents must be gently instructed. And if people who were opposing him, and remember Timothy was a pastor in the church, and he's saying, people who are opposing you, they're in your face and saying you're wrong and you're young and you'll know better later and all this kind of stuff. He said opponents must be gently instructed. And so if people who are opposing somebody who, you know, God had appointed, Paul had appointed Timothy over that church, if they're opposing that and even Timothy is required to be gentle, shouldn't we all be gentle in telling the truth? Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. They're insincere, right? They're two-faced. They're all friendly and nice, and then they walk away and talk other things. Whereas Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, trustworthy, that we speak in a way that they know that we have their best interests at heart, even if it hurts a bit. And telling the truth is so closely tied to personal integrity. And I believe that when we when we stick to the truth, there's so many other areas of our life that it affects. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:12 to the Corinthians, he's writing to them and saying, our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. And again, I want to remind us today, this is not something we grit our teeth and make ourselves do. This is the operation of the Holy Spirit in us. It doesn't come naturally to us. But when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, if we tell even a little white lie, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And he'll say, you know what? I don't care that that's not going to hurt anybody or that's whatever. That wasn't right, and you need to correct that. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to allow him to awaken and make our conscience even more sensitive in these kinds of areas, because he's trying to make us like him. The third thing that faithful, trustworthy people do is they live up to their word. And of course, this is closely tied to telling the truth, but that we take seriously the commitments that we make. Luke 16:10-13 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you have not been trustworthy handling someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, Jesus is talking about money here, which I know nobody likes talking about. Money, politics, religion, we all keep that to ourselves, right? But Jesus wasn't like that, right? He brought it up. And it's interesting that in this teaching on trust and really on how God treats us, that when we're faithful with little, he gives us more. And he tells a whole parable about that elsewhere. That he brings up money and calls it a little thing. He says, if you haven't been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth with money, will anyone trust you with true riches? And right before that, he's saying, you know, whoever is entrusted with little, I mean, if you don't handle it well, who will trust you with more? And essentially, he's saying, whatever God gives you, little or much in terms of money and material possessions, God is watching you to see what you're faithful in. Not necessarily to bless you with more money, though he may do that. Jesus says that God will trust us with true riches, because money is not true riches. And that's a message right there that I believe that we need to hear today. But of course, we're talking about living up to our word. And I believe that God gives us trust, and other people give us trust. And just as God is faithful to us, the Bible says that he won't allow his word to return void. In other words, his word is whatever he says, he will do. It doesn't just not happen. And his Holy Spirit is in us to make us like him. And in Matthew 5:37, Jesus instructs us not to swear to things. And he says, all you need to do is simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. And he says, anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Very interesting, eh? I know in French, people talk about, you know, they swear by the sanctuary or whatever kind of thing. You know, and that's a very biblical thing to do. Jesus talked about this with the Pharisees, that they would swear by the temple or the altar. And they'd say, well, you know, if I say I'll do this, but I don't swear by the temple or the altar, well, then it's not really a vow. And so Jesus was correcting that and saying, no, don't be that way. Just whatever you say, live up to it. If you say yes, do yes. If you say no, do no. That's the sort of people that we need to be. And certainly there are times where we can't live up to our commitment. And that's where, okay, then we need to go to the person and make it right. Right? We need to apologize. We need to demonstrate that our word means something to us, that we are trustworthy. The last thing that I see about faithful, trustworthy people is that trustworthy people are accountable. Like I was just saying, if we don't live up to our word, we go and talk to the person who we said that to, whatever it was. Why? Because we're accountable to them. It's not just about us anymore. We're accountable for what we said. If we tell a lie to somebody, we're accountable to them. We don't just confess it to God and move on, right? If we remember the lie and we remember the person, we go and we make it right with that person. And I believe that that is so important. It's part of humility, which is another thing that God is striving to build into us. That we wouldn't have such pride that we can't say we're sorry or that we did wrong, but instead we would recognize it. You know, just in the last couple of weeks, I can think of a situation where something happened and somebody was unwilling to acknowledge that they had done what was wrong, and it resulted in broken relationship. And those people are not able to really move forward in relationship right now. And I trust that God will move and help and shape hearts so that things will move forward. And it's never too late. It really isn't. You know, I over the years, I've met so many people. In fact, probably some of, even in this building today, who maybe have had fractured relationship for decades with family members, with friends. And yet, when God prompted their heart and they reached out, God gave them the words and helped them to set things right in relationship because they were willing to apologize and do what they could to set things right, even though you can't go back and redo everything. As parents, you know, we can't go back and relive. I can't go back to when Brianna was 5 and you know, I did something wrong or, you know, that kind of thing. But I can still, if I remember it and I haven't repented to her for it, if I wronged her when she was 5, I can still say, you know what? The Holy Spirit brought this to my attention and I don't want to leave it and have it be something between us. And maybe you've even forgotten about it, but it's important to me because the Holy Spirit is prompting me. It's so important that we be open to the work of the Spirit. And that's why I believe that Paul calls this one of the fruit of the Spirit. Because we don't naturally do those kind of things. We think, oh, that's old news. That's water under the bridge. Why would I even bring it up? Well, because the Holy Spirit is bringing it up. The Bible teaches us that we are all accountable to God and to each other. And you know, sometimes, even in the church, we don't do this well. We're meant to be accountable to each other in the big things and the little things. Did you know that I'm accountable to somebody? Sometimes people look at the pastor and think, well, he's not accountable to anybody. But I'm accountable to the board and ultimately to the membership who we're having a meeting in just a couple weeks' time. And so if there's something wrong, there's that accountability. The board, you elect them, so they're accountable to you as well. And I have a different accountability. I have an accountability to our denomination who credentials me that I have to follow certain things or they could remove those credentials. If you're an official member, you sign a document saying, I'll be accountable not in a negative, awful way, but in a positive way that says we can speak the truth in love to each other. We can be accountable in a healthy, growing way, not in a condemning, tearing down kind of way. As the worship team comes this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today about our faithfulness. And you know, we may be faithful. The Holy Spirit may have helped us in so many ways, but like all the other gifts of the Spirit, there's usually ways that we can grow. Even if it's just that there's going to be a test in our future that God wants to prepare us for today. And so I believe that each and every one of us today needs to ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? Would you show me? If you haven't already shown me something as Pastor Jay has been speaking and talking about different aspects of faithfulness, is there some way, God, that you want to prepare me for what is to come? That I will be faithful to the end? You know, that's the whole theme of the book of Revelation. You know, sometimes people get caught up in the book of Revelation and what's going to happen in the prophecies. But the whole point of John writing the book of Revelation is that we would know that God knows what's going to happen. And we don't have to worry. And so we can be faithful to the end. Whatever happens, though the ground beneath our feet is giving way, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength. And ultimately, we will only be faithful in every situation that we find ourselves in if we lean on the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to face trials and tribulations and difficulties and situations where it would be so much easier to be unfaithful. We see this so much unfaithfulness in the world. The whole Me Too thing is really about awful unfaithfulness. And unfortunately, the same sort of things have happened in the church. And I believe that we need to be different. And we're not going to be different just by saying, I'm going to try harder. Okay, Pastor Jay, I'll try to be honest. I'll try to, you know, let my word be my word. I'll try to... No, it's only going to happen as we come before God and say, God, I'm not strong enough to be in every situation, even if it meant my death. I don't know that any of us is really strong enough to face that trial unless the Holy Spirit is in us. But when the Holy Spirit is in us, we transform. Just like we see in the disciples, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, they were denying him, they were running away, they were hiding. All except John didn't even come to the cross. And yet when the Holy Spirit came in power and began working in their life, what's the fruit that we see? That they were faithful to the end. Whatever that end meant, whoever it meant that they had to face, they weren't highly intelligent, powerful people. They were ordinary fishermen, tax collectors. And yet they faced kings and governors. They faced angry mobs, and they were faithful. And not just faithful to God, but faithful to each other. There's so many stories of the early Christians being faithful to one another. Not perfectly, because they're people like us. Are we going to be the faithful people God is calling us to be? Not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. And I believe that God is speaking, but sometimes a message is just really for you. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to respond. Not just to walk out of here and say, well, that was a good message. I need to think about that more. But to respond and say, Holy Spirit, I hear you. And today, I'm saying yes to what you want to do in my life. And if that's you and you just want to, in a physical way, say yes to God, then I want to invite you to come this morning and just stand on this side, and we'll know that you're just saying yes to God in a tangible way this morning. You can even come as I'm speaking now. And if there's something in your life that you want prayer, it doesn't have to be about the sermon at all. It might be a health need or a work situation or a family situation. And you want someone to pray with you, just come to this side over by the communion table, and someone will come and pray and agree with you for that situation. But ultimately, I believe that the response that God is inviting all of us to today is simply to say, God, I'm not strong enough to be faithful to the end. But in you, all things are possible. Holy Spirit, would you fill me afresh and anew with your power, with your grace? Would you transform me into the person you've designed me to be? Lord, today we come before you in surrender, asking that by your Holy Spirit, you would freely move in our midst. God, we don't want to be the kind of Christians who are religious, who are just always trying to do the right thing in our own strength, in our own wisdom. We know that doesn't cut it. And so today, God, we invite you to move by your Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, God, we want the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness to be so evident in us, that we would be faithful, that we would be trustworthy, that we would be able to stand for what is right and true, even when it's hard, even when we don't even know what to say, that your Holy Spirit would speak through us. And so, God, we invite you today to do your transforming work, your molding, your shaping. God, even the hard things, the painful things, God, we invite you to do that because we know that when you do work in our hearts that's painful, that the result is beautiful. And so, God, we ask that you would help us where we need to admit that we're wrong, where we need to ask for forgiveness, where we need to set things right. God, that you would give us wisdom and strength and boldness to make things right as far as it concerns us, as far as we have something that we can do. And Lord, we're asking that your glory would shine through us, that the kind of faithfulness and trustworthiness that we have would be distinctively different from the kind that we can just generate on our own. And that others would see you in us because of it. That others would see not a new and improved us, but an awesome, glorious God through us. Oh God, that's what we want, for your glory. That the world will know that you are God and that you are at work today. Thank you, God, that you are. That we don't have to repeat the habits of the past, but that we can find freedom, that we can find hope and victory in you. Oh, that's so awesome that you do that in us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, for your mighty work in us. We look forward to what you are going to do in and through us as we continue to surrender to your way and to your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.